welcome to the Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, and specifically, we're going to talk about the quantum connection. We have moved from a time in man's history when he was more observant of the seasons, the natural law, because he lived closer to nature. Even the farmers lived by the seasons. That what they ate depended on what they could grow. They had to have this nurturing aspect of their society to produce their children. Their children were their social welfare, to cultivate their relationships with the rest of the members of the tribe, their community, in order to depend upon them for protection in the time of attack or the time of flood or famine or crop failures. When you're growing a garden to live by, you would be surprised at how much damage a quail can do. Just a quail can enter into your garden and nip every single broccoli plant you have growing and kill it out. And you lose a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of growth and plant again and use more seed. And they can come in again. Chipmunks, deer, herd of cattle can be devastating. You can't run down to the store and just buy some more groceries if something goes bad. This was what kept you between surviving and dying, was your ability to produce food, to produce friends who would be there for you in the time of need. This was closer to what they call the natural man. And as we've talked before, man leaves that state of nature and enters into what they call a social compact. And though he thinks he will change his situation for the better by doing so, he often changes it for the worst and is changed by that change. As we go, so we also grow. If we accept certain ideas, we are changed by those ideas that we have accepted. It's a process that goes on and on. Thomas Paine, I talked about him this morning on Blog Talk when we talked about the quantum connection. He believed that belief in a cruel God makes for a cruel man. And we talked about how people interpret the Old Testament God as being much more cruel, doing all kinds of terrible things, telling us to do terrible things or what we would consider to be terrible, certainly not according to the ways of Christ. And so we would have to believe that God changed. He had one idea and intent at one time, and then he changed. And he has another intent, an idea for our time. But yet the Bible says God is the same yesterday as he is today. So it may be that the confusion comes from the fact that we do not understand what is written in the Old Testament. And we talked about that also, how there were religious groups at the time of Christ that considered that the Pharisees' interpretation of the Bible, as well as the Sadducees and a number of other sects, was absolutely, completely backwards, upside down, confused, and fairy tales and fiction. And they read the same Hebrew and came to that conclusion. They read the same Torah and Tanakh, and they came to that conclusion. What were they seeing that we are not seeing? Because we think that what they were doing was what the Old Testament said, yet Christ seemed to have a difference, and said, if you knew Moses, you would also know me. But was Moses doing exactly what Christ was doing? And of course, that's the theme of much of our website, is to show you that Moses and Christ were in agreement. They were really doing the same thing, but our vision of what Moses was doing has been distorted, because every religion is not good, and every religion does not teach that man to be good. And as Thomas Paine says, I know none that instruct him to be bad. And in truth, many religions instruct men to be bad because they take away elements of the prophet, elements of Christ, elements of the teachings of God, and they take them away and they hide them amongst rituals and eschatologies and ideologies and philosophies. And you miss them. And with that, you are changed by that missing. Remembering that evil is the result of an absence of the character of God. Just like darkness is the result of the absence of the light that comes from God. And so I also continued on with government, even in its best state, quoting again Thomas Paine, is but a necessary evil in its worst state, an intolerable one. And I pointed out that someone had written me and said, government is, if it is evil, it is never necessary. Well, the truth is, it is necessary for the evil people, people who will not be ruled by God. They do need government, and it is a necessary evil for them because it is designed to punish them, and it will punish them. And we see examples of that again in Samuel 8, where God speaks to Samuel and points out that when the voice of the people wanted to establish a government, a necessary evil, it wasn't because they needed government to be good. It was that they had already rejected God, therefore rejecting God, rejecting some of the character of God, embracing the darkness rather than the light. I'm using these metaphors. They could not see the foolishness of establishing a central authority government, electing Saul to be their chief executive officer. They couldn't see it. And even though it was explained to them by Samuel, you're going to take your sons, daughters, and the first fruits of your labor, etc., take and take and take and take, they still couldn't see it, and they still wanted to go that way. So they had already changed, but in going this other route, they were changed again. They were weakened as a people. And that's what we need to realize, is that the choices that we make set us up for choices that we will make in the future. And they will get worse and worse and worse, and our decay and decrepitance and corruption will become more and more common once we start down a certain road. So in order to find your way back, you need to reverse entirely, not just a little bit. You know, there's campaigns going on in some governments where they're trying to elect different leaders, different prime ministers, different presidents, etc. But unless they fundamentally go back to where they went off course, it won't do them any good. It won't bring about any good. As a matter of fact, it will bring about more evil, more difficulties. And the best you can hope for is that you slow down the process, which only prolongs the agony. And I pointed out that Thomas Jefferson said, it is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself. And, of course, that's exactly what Samuel was saying. And God was saying through Samuel is that because they had already rejected me, I shall reject them. So anyway, in talking about quantum, I had as a title of this morning's blog talk, which we've already posted, the spirit and other things. In other words, the spirit is a thing. We have a tendency to think the spirit is something that is non-substantive. In reality, spirit is the real substance. Everything else is a result of the spirit. And bear me out for those who don't get that. Talk about self-help hallucinations. The idea that you are evolving, that you are, we just watched a show on the Celts, and they talk about them being primitive, not forming a central government, so therefore they're primitive and less, more superstitious, less organized, because they never progressed to the point of forming a central government. In reality, it was those who formed the central government that digressed from a government of the people, for the people, and by the people to a government of a central authority. It is a de-evolution to move in that direction. And now the whole world has gone after that. Another heading was head and heart duality of creation, harmony and impure entanglements, ideas and idolatry. And this is one of the major problems. We had discussions with a number of different groups today that have been talking about the fact that when I mention words like church, certain ideas come into your head. When I mention a word like religion, certain ideas come into your head. When I mention a word like government, certain ideas come into head. Authority. And you have to constantly redefine these terms because they have multiple definitions. There are many forms of government. They are not all the same. There are different types of your religion, pure religions and non-pure religions. We can divide it up in a lot of other different ways. The pure religion is how you take care of your needy. So going to quantum mechanics, also known as quantum physics and quantum theory, is a branch of physics dealing with physical phenomena where the action is on the order of what they call a constant or Planck's constant. Quantum mechanics departs from classical mechanics primarily at the quantum realm of atomic and subatomic length scales. What they're talking about is these phenomena are things that go on in nature that are unexplainable, that we cannot fit into the existing laws of physics. And we can't explain them. And we gave an example in the second hour of Keys of the Kingdom this morning. We had Paul Bethke on, who was talking about something that they discovered. They wanted to invent a way of creating a random numbers. Now, you have ways in your computer, but those aren't really random. They are actually based on mathematical formula. And they can become random to some degree by altering the formula in relationship to time. But it's still, eventually, there's a pattern development because it's based on a random number generator that is programmed a certain way. So it's not really random. They looked at what they call white noise, which appears when you turn up the volume on sound systems. And they said, well, this is just background noise. It's just its intensity is just random. Well, we plug into that and use that as a random number generator. And there was a reason why, and he explains all that. But the point was, is they discovered something, that the random generator had patterns that were displayed based on events in the common lives of the people of the world. In other words, electronically generated frequencies was actually being generated and altered and regulated by the emotional state of people, both on a local level and an international level. In other words, at 911, something happened and the random number generator changed. There was a concert that was heard all over the country with certain types of music, and the randomness changed based upon the presence of this activity, this collective consciousness. And he was involved with some of the programming of the equipment that they use in doing this and the chipsets that they're making. And they actually found that people can actually affect the white noise around them, the atmosphere around you, on a subatomic level. Now, you can call it subatomic, but now we're getting the area of what they call quantum, which some call spiritual realm. And so anyway, we were talking about this, and one of the things that I pointed out is that there's a thing called there's quantification. I'm going to have to skip a little bit, or we won't get this all in, but there's a thing called quantification, which is the process of explaining a classical understanding of physical phenomena in terms of this new understanding known as quantum mechanics. They invented another term, canonical quantization, which means that you have to do this within the realms of our existing physical mechanics, physics mechanics, of what we already believe to be true, because these phenomena were these things that were altering, that were happening, that they can't explain it. And I know a lot of the people that listen to this show have dealt with some of these things. They talk about muscle testing and things like that. There's something else going on that is not explainable by what you see is what you get. You're actually getting something based on something you cannot see, something in this quantum level, this spiritual level. And I thought it was interesting that you used the term quantical. But the other thing is wave-particle duality. Now, we have a thing called dual citizenship in the world today, where you can be a citizen of like Israel and the United States and actually hold public office in the United States. And I think that's absolutely amazing that that is allowed to happen, but they do that on a regular basis with a number of different countries that allow for dual citizenship. But wave-particle duality has to do with, is it a particle? Is it substance? Is it a thing? Or is it a wave, which is not really a thing, but a motion and energy? So they actually blend these two, and they say they can't take them apart. And as I pointed out also in a show that we did recently with Alfred Adask, which you can see all these shows at our website, preparingyou.com, under the audios. And if you join the network, people will show you where a lot of these connections are. Also, Keys of the Kingdom has a lot of these audios. But there are hundreds of them getting out there on many different topics. And we'll even post this one eventually. But the point is that he asked about, thinking that Brother Gregory Church, we're going to be talking mostly about spiritual things, but Christ was talking about physical things all the time, how you relate in the world. And so I said, no, if you remove the spiritual from the physical, you end up with a dead man. You have to connect these two things constantly. You don't want to separate them. And what's happened is there's been a disconnect in our society, which is kind of where I'm going with it, is because we have moved out of this state of nature by social contract and then moved farther away from the state of nature by everybody moving to a city, a civil authority, where you don't have to be responsible. Somebody else is responsible. Somebody else is tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and you haven't got a clue what's going on. Because you're getting more and more removed from these essential facts of life, as Thoreau would say, you're becoming more and more oblivious to them. You're literally dying to what makes you a man or a woman. You are separating yourself. I mean, they take your kids away from you, and they put them in school, so you don't have to deal with that. You know, you don't have to deal with that. The more you don't deal with, the more and less alive you are. Because we were put on this earth to deal with it. You know, there's a sign up, put your big girl panties on and deal with it. That's very popular amongst the women in this local community, that you need to deal with life. Because we're in a remote area, 75 miles to the nearest police station, and we have to do for ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves a lot of the times. People still have a lot of that idea of taking care of yourself and your neighbor still alive in this remote community. But we're being removed constantly from dealing with it. We don't deal with our children because we send them out to public schools. We don't deal with the law because that's the job of policemen and judges. We don't have to worry about that. We just got to make sure we whatever. But it's not dealing with the essential facts of life. So anyway, what we're doing is we're separating. We are dual creatures in mind and body, spirit and body and flesh. And when you're separating those two things, what happens is the first one that goes is the spiritual aspect, and what's left is the physical aspect. and it is buffeted about, because any other physical reality will change your reality. Get a cloudy day, rainy, drizzly, you're sad. Because the atmosphere around you changed, you're changed. You're a slave to the weather. You're a slave to what everybody else is doing around you. If they're frightened, you get frightened. If they get anxious, you get anxious. And you become a thing. You're manipulated by your environment. You are not master of your environment. Because why? Because you've separated a major aspect of your existence from what you experience. You have fallen into the flesh. You experience the physical realm, the physical reality. Can you be just as happy and content standing on a street corner, standing on a mountain, standing in jail? Iron bars and stone walls do not a prison make. Ideas, philosophies, ideologies, they imprison you. You come into this world and immediately people begin to give you ideas, preconceived notions. And you become subject to those preconceived notions, preconceived ideas. You don't look at things anew. You don't look at things objectively. You look at everything through the eyes and glasses that people have given you. Now, I could give you different glasses, but then you would just be looking through what I give you. What you want to do is see reality as it is. Looking, you want to look through God's eyes. I have an opinion, you have an opinion, and God's opinion is reality. You want to see things as they really are. You have to have a humble heart. You have to have an accepting heart. You have to have a willingness to see yourself as you really are. See your failings. See your faults. Don't just focus on other people's, but see your own. So that you can start bringing this duality of spiritual realm and physical realm back together in conjunction. Now, there's a lot of people that want you to do that, but they only want you to do it on their terms. Christ wanted you to do it on righteous terms. And, of course, that's what the Bible is about, to give you an idea, a picture of what righteousness is. Don't kill, don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your family. Honor each other. Forgive. Give. All these things are pointing in a particular direction towards the character of Christ, towards the character of God. I and the Father are one. It's not a philosophical idea or eschatology that you need to memorize and say, oh, I believe that. You actually have to take a journey into yourself and see yourself as you really are, your weaknesses, your failings. Don't focus on everybody else's. Take a look at your own. How are you relating to everybody else? Are you coveting your neighbor's goods? Are you lazy? Or are you diligent? So anyway, going back to this, you know, we're cramming a lot of stuff here into this topic. But the fact is, those people who don't believe in the spiritual realm don't realize you're in the spiritual realm all the time. You're just unaware of what's going on. And you're being influenced by it and by the collective consciousness or unconsciousness of those people around you. They don't see the truth. You don't see the truth. You know, that white noise. They're affected by what's going on around them. You are a subject. There's your prison. It's of your own making, of your own acceptance. And you feed on other people. If you look to other people for your salvation, instead of that spiritual connection. See, each individual can connect directly with God. Always was, always will be. It didn't need Christ to die for you to do that. Enoch did it. Others here. Now, what Christ did is open the door. He was the door. He opened that door. But you could, there were prophets who were divinely inspired way back when. Enoch supposedly translated. What does that mean? Others performed miracles and did strange, bizarre things according to the stories and legends and mythology of Christianity. The reality is that many of those things are true. Not always our perception of them, but there's lots of things that would be called miracles that are actually true. But what evil wants to do is have dominion over you, so it wants you to forget about the spiritual and fall to the flesh alone. It wants you to think that there isn't a spiritual. This is what scientists are looking. They're looking at the cells. They're looking at the body, and they're saying, this is the result of a divine intelligence. It isn't just random chemical reactions that slowly evolved over a period of time. It's way too complex. Spirit, they'll be laughed out of. The canonical quantization is needed. You have to accept the high priest of science. But you get to talk about quantum mechanics. These mysterious, clearly influenced events in another realm beyond the physical that we can figure. They go on also the uncertainty principle. In other words, what they think may not be true, but it doesn't mean that it's not true just because it doesn't work out, because there's this uncertainty element. So, I mean, you talk about science, it's more like science fiction. And then, of course, the last thing is quantum entanglements. Quantum entanglements. And that's, of course, is what I'm talking about when you have a society that is extremely distraught and anxious over, like, 9-1-1. That was one of the things that I was amazed. I just watched people, and I could feel and sense their reaction to what was going on around them, the fear that was actually being electrically currented through society at these events. This was showing up in this white noise random generator, what was going on. And it's really kind of a mass hysteria taking place on an international basis, and having a tremendous effect. You need to find a place where we can rise above that, not be carried away by the current. They're talking about waves tossing to and fro. This is what we're talking about, waves. What are we talking about? Wave-particle duality. Waves passing to and fro. You're being swept along by an ideology of collective unconsciousness. And when we come back to the Sabbath hour, we're going to talk about ways, which I didn't think I was going to do, but I guess I am going to do it. We're going to talk about ways to find that rock where you will not be tossed to and fro. And we'll talk about that when we return after these words from our sponsor.
Great. Thank you very much, Brother Gregory. You're listening to Freedomizer Radio and Brother Gregory with the Sabbath Hour. And we'll be right back after these messages.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Okay, we're back, and if you'd like to call in, if you have any questions or comments for Brother Gregory, our phone number is 347-324-3704, and the floor is back to you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Anyway, I promised that I'd, actually I didn't promise, I suggested that I would tell you a little bit about how to get back in touch with that thing that we've lost. Now, we talk about the story of the garden where somehow we were to eat of this tree of life. Instead, we ate of the tree of knowledge. We began to decide for ourselves what was good and evil instead of listen to a divinely inspired revelation from the tree of life. In other words, we turned our back on the Holy Spirit. We returned our back on being ruled by God, a benevolent Father who loves us, who wants to give us more and more life and more power. He gives us a denarii, two denarii, three denarii, and he wants to give us more, but we have to use what he gives us wisely. If we don't, he will give us less. Absolutely the characteristic of a good father who doesn't spoil his child by giving him too much. This is the message that we see over and over and over again from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And that's why I gave you for those of you who are familiar, that those are semblances or samples of different parables and stories in the Bible. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to get back? Well, they talk about repenting, turning around, going another way. Well, one of the things that people don't understand is that we don't know what way they were going that was wrong if you listen only to the other churches. And so therefore you don't know what it means to repent. And of course what they were doing was coveting their neighbor's goods, the agency of the government that they created for themselves. They had been doing this, getting worse and worse. They had turned their back on God and elected Saul and then David and then Rehoboam and Solomon and Rehoboam and so on. And now they were doing the same thing again. They had done it with Nehemiah in that period of time, and now they were doing it again and worse than ever with Herod. And they had created this social welfare system which was corrupting the government and depleting the people, putting heavy burdens on the people. But he said, my burden is light, because you have to learn how to take care of one another through loving one another, through faith, hope, and charity, and pure religion. Now, all of you who have read the different articles and understand when I say pure religion, what I'm talking about, will understand. So you have to do a little bit of studying to keep up. We can't go through it all every time we have a show. But now we're going to take it a little bit farther. And I'm looking at Psalms 4:4. Stand in awe, it says. What's it talking about? Stand in awe. The word there, ragas, that they use as a verb of in awe, is translated 12 times tremble, 7 times move, 5 times rage, 3 times shake, 3 times disquiet, 3 times troubled, as we see here, twice quake, once afraid, and 5 other miscellaneous different ways. But it says stand in awe. So whatever that means, it says, and sin not. Now when it says sin not, what are they talking about? Don't go against the guideposts of the Ten Commandments. Don't kill, don't murder, don't bear false witness, don't covet. Those are some of the basics. There's more to it than that, but just if you do those, you're really on the road in the right direction. Because I don't know anybody who doesn't do some of those. Then it says, commune with your own heart. Commune with your own heart. Take a look at yourself. And the word heart there, it's normally translated heart, but it actually has to do with the inner man, the inner mind, the heart, the soul. Whenever the Hebrews use different words like kidney and liver to represent certain aspects of the character of mankind, and of course heart is one of those. But it specifically talks about the inner man. So what they're saying is to commune with the inner man. Take a look at yourself. It says, upon your bed. And in other words, that's like your prayer closet, your chamber, your time alone. And it says, and be still. Now when you'll see the phrase be still a number of times in the Old Testament, this particular word is damam, which has a delos, a mem, and another mem, two mems in a row. Mem is always a word that has to do with flowing, connection that flows. But yet, it's supposed to be silent. And, of course, it's translated silence and still and silent and cut off and cut down and rest and cease and forbear and peace and tarry and wait. And it has all these different words that it's translated into. But what it's talking about is be still, wait upon the Lord. And I've talked about that before, people always praying, but they never give God a chance to say anything. And so what they're talking about, staying in awe, that means humbly. Realize that you did not create yourself. There is a greater force that's giving you the possibility to exist. So you see that there's something higher than you. Sin not, follow those guidelines. Don't be murdering, stealing, bearing false witness, coveting your neighbor's goods. Don't be so selfish. Love your neighbor. commune, take a look at your own heart and your own mind in a still, quiet place and wait upon the Lord in this still, quiet place. So what they're talking about is actually a form of meditation. Now, there's lots of kinds of meditation out there. And so when you say that word, everybody thinks, oh, meditation, Eastern religion, da-da-da. Well, the reality is there are meditations that are numbing the mind, and there are meditations that allow you to take a look at the mind. And that's, of course, what they're talking about here is to commune with your own heart. And what the ancient Israelites did, they had a thing, suddenly I can't remember the name of it in the Hebrew. I'm drawing a blank. I'm looking out at the green trees and stuff, and I was distracted for a moment. But they used to take a leather pouch and put a little scripture in it and strap it to their forehead and wrap it, the leather thong that they strapped it to their forehead, around their arm and down into their hand. And really what that is the physical ritual of a spiritual concept. Are you okay, Cheryl?
I am. Every time somebody walks by, we get but we're good, thanks.
Okay. I thought we'd have to call 911 or something. So anyway, the point is that they're trying to describe something, and it's a meditation that's been taught for centuries and centuries, and it's basically you go into your prayer closet, your quiet place, your chair somewhere, and you sit still, and you wait, and you take a look at the thoughts that interfere with you waiting. And the reason they wrap that thong around the hand is they're being aware of their hand, major instrument of doing in your body, and seeing that hand in as a mental picture in their mind while contemplating this desire to be standing in awe of God, you know, looking to God for an answer, praying to God, calling on God for an answer, not calling on Obama or Bill Clinton or George Bush or Ronald Reagan, but calling upon God for an answer and being still and waiting for that answer. Now, you would be surprised, closing your eyes and trying to just notice the presence of your hand at the end of your arm in relationship to your mind's eye, looking from that inner place in your mind's eye. You can't hardly do that for 5 minutes, for 1 minute. Immediately, you will have experiences. Thoughts will come up. You'll remember this, remember that. You'll hear noises. You'll feel things moving. You try it. Just an experiment. You know, I'm not going to be there in the room saying, now you will empty your bank accounts and send me a check or anything. I'm not going to be hypnotizing you. I'm not going to be saying, join some cult. You're just trying to be still for a moment. Be still and know the will of God. We see this over and over again now. Also in Psalms 46:10, we see, be still and know that I am God. Not you, not anybody else, not your preacher, your pastor, but I am God, the God. Not me, him. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He says, be still and know. That's the critical thing, that he is God. Blessed are they that dwell. Now, this is Psalms 84:4, that dwell in thy house, and they will be still praising thee. So the thing is, again, going back to that quantum idea, people are, and the world is trying to get you to look away from this inner knowing, this inner revelation of the truth, this knowing the whole truth perspective. They want you to know their truth, their version, their denomination. They want you to join their church We don't want you to join our church. We want you to join his church. We want you to walk in his ways, not our ways. We're not going to create all kinds of eschatologies and theologies. You know, we'll discuss these with you, but we know that it's the fruits of what you do amongst each other, how you govern yourself, that's going to be key. But anyway, if we go, I think it's in, let's see, is it Isaiah, "Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished." Again, they talk about this idea of being still a number of times. Jeremiah, "Oh, thou sword of the Lord," the sword of the Lord, what's that? "How long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard. Rest and be still." Over and over again, we are told to be still. Even in Mark, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now, when you try to sit still in a room and be aware just of your own hand, you could do your whole body, you could do your foot, just do your hand. That's kind of the focal point of this ancient Hebrew, and actually it goes even farther back, form of meditation. And again, you're going to the inner reaches of your own mind. You're taking a look. And how does that work? When you try to be still and just notice the presence of your hand, feel it, feel the blood circulating in it, feel it, your fingers tingling as you become aware of your hand laying gently at your side, you will notice that you are distracted. Thoughts come up. You remember what somebody said. You remember what somebody did. You may see colors in your mind, but you will be distracted. You won't be able to consistently do it. The real part of meditation is when you notice those distractions. Those are all the preconceived notions that are getting into your mind, making scars in your thinking. We all hear, you know, the Freudian approach that, it's because you resented your mother that you do this. Well, it could be that you resented your father that you do it. But the point is that the injustices that are done to us and we don't forgive in our life come back to haunt us. They come back and alter the way in which we see the world. Those are the glasses, and they're not all rose-colored, that we look at the world through and imagine the reality that we are seeing is true through those eyes given to us by people who have upset us, who have brainwashed us, who have violated our personal conscience and tried to get us to follow them. And they have imprisoned us in our reactions to them. This is why forgiveness is so important, why you leave judgment to God is so important. Because if you don't forgive, you will become like that which you hate, that you focus anger and judgment on. So you have to let go of those things. And those are another thing that you will see rising up in you as you try to be still. And you shouldn't do this for long periods of time, 10, 15 minutes. And then get up and do your work for the day. Do it in the morning, do it in the evening, do it in the middle of the day, fine. Do it for just a few minutes. Collect your thoughts, so to speak. Now, don't collect them to keep them, collect them to see them. When you see these things welling up inside you, you will eventually obtain a sort of mastery over them. And again, we go back to what Jesus, what goes on in your brain is like that storm with the waves tossing you to and fro. Angers, resentments, so-and-so said this one time, and you'll be amazed at how deep it goes. Be amazed. But again, you're taking a look at that inner man, that inside individual or inner woman, what has made you what you are today. And when it comes up, you can forgive it. You'll see, you'll remember what so-and-so did. Or maybe sometimes it'll just come up as a physical experience. You'll actually just feel, people talk about just breaking into tears trying to do this for just 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Because they're actually waiting upon the Lord. If you do this with the right attitude, I know somebody once who's doing this meditation and they stopped doing it. And I asked them why. And they said because they realized they were doing it for the wrong reason. And I said, when did you realize that? While I was meditating. Well, that's the whole point, is to take a look at the inner man, the inner thought, see what comes up. Be still. Don't be feeding in from the world all the time. Just be left alone with your own thought. This is considered the most inhumane, cruel punishment that you can give. Solitary confinement. But we're not talking about for years. We're talking about for 10, 15 minutes. You put yourself in solitary confinement. Be left alone with your thoughts. Try to do something innocent and harmless. Be aware of your hand. You can do it of your foot or whatever, but hand is usually easiest. Close your eyes. Don't stare at it. Don't concentrate. It's not a matter of effort. Remember, you are recognizing that God is God, and you're waiting upon Him to show you what you need to see. About yourself first. You know, if you're constantly plagued with thoughts about, oh, what everybody else is doing wrong, which is, you know, one of the tricks of those manipulating us into this state of unconsciousness, is to get us thinking, oh, you know, it's those darn Democrats, or those darn Republicans, or those darn Catholics, or those darn Jews, or those darn whoever. It isn't. You give them power by reacting to them. You have to be still and know that there is a God. There is a quantum spiritual force. You are being swept away by the white noise of people's fears and anxieties and frustrations. They are having an effect on you in a state of collective unconsciousness. And we could get into even more scarier things than that. But the fact is there is a solution. And there is no trick. This meditation is not a trick where you get really good at it and then you will achieve great things. You must be, if you go back to that statement back in Psalms, and we can go to a lot of places where it talks about this, but if we go back, I think it's Psalms 4:4, stand in awe, recognize this other authority, sin not, stop coveting your neighbor's goods, stop judging your neighbor, stop bearing false witness, start seeing about yourself even. Start seeing yourself as you really are. Be still and let God show you. And you will find out you can't be still, and that's fine, because that's the reality, is that as soon as you try to be still, noise, your brain starts turning on its own radio. By the way, don't have the radio going while you do this. Go into a quiet place and do this. And maybe next week you can call me and tell me what you experienced if you tried this and see what happens. So I didn't think I was going to get into that area. A lot of the stuff that we teach around the campfire on a personal basis, on a one-on-one basis. Because if you tell people too much about certain things, they'll turn you into another religion. They'll start trying to manipulate your teachings into some sort of cult. And it's really very simple. Yeah, Christ's message was very, very simple. And it can bring some very, very complex conclusions. But it will do it simply. I mean, it's not a burden. And so anyway, what we were talking about in this quantum thing is that there is a collective consciousness, there is a collective unconsciousness, and again, remember, evil is the absence of good. So, you know, evil does not want you just to, he doesn't want you to commit all the sins. I mean, he'd be great and happy if you did that. He wants you just to commit one. Leave out something. and every evil. And the fact is, you know, you go into a bar and you don't order any alcohol to drink. You know, I'm not afraid of drinking a beer or something, but the only reason I go into a bar is usually fix something that somebody else broke. But if you go in there, people want to buy you a drink. You say, oh, no, that's okay, I'm not drinking. And they want to really buy you a drink. They don't want to see you not doing what they're doing. Well, there's a spiritual flow of quantum energy in society that wants you to do everything the way everybody else is doing it. They want you to be like them. If you're not going to be like them, they either want to be able to cast you off and judge you or do away with you, crucify you. And so this is one of the reasons why Christ warned you that when you start to see the truth, don't just go casting your pearls to swine, because they'll turn on you. They'll attack you. They'll rent you. Apostles knew this. That's why Peter said, don't go to Jerusalem. They'll hate you. They'll try to kill you. He knew it. But he didn't realize that Jesus had to go, because he didn't come to serve his own needs. He came to serve other needs. That's part of the plan. To be still and know that I am God. That's a part of the I will exalt you in the earth if you accept that reality. If we go back to stand in awe and sin not. All the commandments hinge on two things. Love God, which is the giver of life, giver of justice, and love thy neighbor as thyself. All the commandments hinge on those two things. Yeah, I mentioned a few of them, but if you just put those two things, you have to come together with others for the purpose of how you can bless them, not how they can bless you. You don't go to church to get a good feeling. And even though there may be some good feelings that come from that little quiet time, that meditation where you're standing in awe and being still and know and sinning not and communing with your own heart or mind, that it, there may be good feelings with it at times. There may be frightening things that happen at times. It depends. Everybody's a little different. And it changes from time to time, because this is real prayer. And you're not asking for stuff. You're asking to know and do the will of the Father. He'll give you the stuff you need. Don't, you know, I need a car, I need this, I need that. That's all about you. It's not about you. It's about the God you stand in awe of. And he isn't. He isn't one of those cool gods that we saw Thomas Paine talking about, where he said that this, I can't scroll up to it. I got too much going on. I can't remember the exact quote, but, you know, a cool God, belief in a cool God makes a cool man. God is a giver of life. He isn't wanting to take your life away. And you'd be surprised at how far he will go along with you. But he will not persevere with you forever. And so this is probably the most important survival tip we could give you, is to know yourself, to know what's going on in your own mind, know how you're influenced by things of the past, things that are going on outside of your realm of physical experience. It's still affecting you. And you need to turn around and turn away from where that is leading you and find out where God really wants you to go and trust in him instead. So with that, I guess we come to the end of another program, and we didn't get a lot of calls. hopefully Cheryl is still there. Are you...
I am still. I have to keep my phone muted for my constant puppy interruptions here.
Yeah, that's okay. He can join in too. So,
yeah.
No, I have to shut our puppy out. He doesn't. He's not a barker, but he'd be creeping in here because he'd hear me talking. He thinks that, well, he's in there alone. He must be going nuts. I can't figure out who I'm talking to. So, and he's not supposed to come in where the humans live. He's supposed to stay on the porch. But anyway, be curious to know if anybody tries that and call in next week with any of the experiences. Also, that wanted to let you know that on June 23rd, I won't be able to do the show. I'll be on the road and not have access to a phone during the showtime. So we'll have to make arrangements for June 23rd to do something different.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought I'd give you a heads up on that. And but I'll try to be here for all the other times, as long as you can put up with me. But anyway, we're at 4 o'clock, and so I'll let you off my time. So I'll turn it over to you, Cheryl.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. You're listening to Freedomizer Radio.